Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend, Mr. Ray Allen, on the other side of the glass. Ray, always doing such a great job producing and engineering the program. And today, the both of us welcome you on this Wednesday, midweek edition, August 9th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice. That would be AM 1030 KVOI. And you don't need to be by a radio anymore. If you're around a computer, live stream the program on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. And that whole live streaming has changed radio just dramatically. Very easy, just log in, and you've got it. You got the program. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you. If there's any time during the hour that you would like to join in the conversation, hopefully to enhance our conversation, if you have a question or comment, 790-2040. I'm going to take a deep dive into the opioid crisis for the first half hour here on the Buckmaster Show. And really, it is a crisis of epidemic proportion, killing more than two Arizona residents each day. It's a 74% increase since 2011. And of course, Arizona's not alone. It's a nationwide program. There's been emergency declarations coming out of Washington concerning this opioid crisis. Approximately 142 deaths each day from drug overdoses means the death toll is equal to September 11th every 3 weeks. So pretty dramatic. With me in studio, Ray Carroll is here. Mr. Carroll served nearly 20 years as Pima County District 4 Supervisor. Ray Carroll recently joined the Tucson-based Amity Foundation as Community and Government Relations Director. Also with us, Pamela Jay. Pamela is the Amity Project Director, and we are also joined here in studio by a young woman who became addicted to opioids following a brain aneurysm. We'll identify her as Alyssa. Alyssa. How are you, Alyssa?
I'm doing lovely, thank you.
And I really do appreciate you coming in to tell your story, and we're going to hear your story in a moment. But first, Pamela, great to have you here as well.
Thank you so much, Bill.
But I want to begin with Ray Carroll. The last time Ray was in studio here with me, he was a Pima County supervisor, and he was saying goodbye to governmental service. So this is something of a homecoming for Ray Carroll. Ray, it's good to see you again.
Bill, it's always great to be with you. I've loved being with you. We've spent sometimes after my retirement out socializing and being in public together.
But seen you a couple times.
Back on the radio was such an important and insightful interview. I'm just grateful for your time. It's obviously for me, when I left public office, I'd mentioned to you and many others, I wanted to do something in the nonprofit world to work for humanity, as it were. I wanted to do well and do good, and I found the very perfect place to do my encore career with a social work and humanity as my focus, and that's the Amity Foundation. Amity is founded in 1969. You had mentioned that's when you graduated from U of A in 69.
I did. I graduated May 31st, 1969.
Well, they were needed then, Bill, as a response to the opioid epidemic. It was called Tucson Awareness House. Many families and friends came together and tried to find a way to help their children avoid the spiraling downfall of drug addiction. So they were needed then, and you are needed now, Bill, and you've rose to the occasion. For you to help us get out and talk about this epidemic today, we're very grateful. Opioids were never meant to be a cure-all, Bill. Just as it's an epidemic in the USA, two people die each day in Arizona from opioid overdose. And my friend Doug Ducey has declared a public health emergency in our state, as many have across the country. I don't know if they're going to wait for all the governors to do it, but I understand there has been an interim report that came through to governor from the governors and from Governor Chris Christie from the opioid special committee that was put together under the president. And the report, the authors say, would be updated in the fall, but this is a draft and the recommendation that they lift restrictions in the use of federal funds. Current rules limit states' use of Medicaid money for residential addiction treatment. We feel that if that were one thing, and maybe just the only thing, that the federal government could do, it could certainly help the problem, nip it in the bud, as they say. But I'm really happy again to be here with our Director of Services and Training, Pamela Jay, and our very courageous student who's here to tell us, and I'm going to get right to your questions for her, Alyssa. God bless her. She's a wonderful person, a part of our community.
And Alyssa, if I can keep you waiting one second, because I do want to bring Pamela Jay into the conversation. Pamela, a little bit about opioids and how Amity, over the years, you've been there a long time, over 30 years. How has it evolved, this particular problem about opioids?
Well, we have a successful track record for those 30 years plus in working with people that have been on opioids. We have a unique model that we call as a teaching and therapeutic community model that really addresses what we talk about as whole person education. So we are looking at all the root causes for the addiction to begin in the first place, and have had we're one of the most researched models in the country and have had the greatest track record for success for individuals.
Does everybody handle opioids differently? Or is there some kind of a pattern that maybe you were prescribed them for pain medication for a couple of days? Somebody may be able to tolerate it longer than others without getting addicted?
Well, you bring up a good question, mm-hmm. Bill. And I think there people get involved in opioids for a variety of different reasons. In some cases, they've never used drugs, and right. they've had an accident or an illness. Mm-hmm. They get prescribed, and then they get addicted. And some find that they can get a hold of their mother's painkillers,
right.
and in youth or even young adolescents or as an adult, and start using for other reasons, that they've had some what we call emotional wounding or trauma in their life, and it helps them to feel better.
That's Pamela Jay, who we've been hearing from. She's the Amity Director of Services. And now, without further ado, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing lovely, Bill. Thank you.
You're a lovely young woman, and as we were talking right before we went on, too young to have had a horrible experience. At what age was the brain aneurysm? Just out of the blue, right?
Yeah, May 16th, 2010. I was just right before my 23rd birthday.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. What happened? Bad headache?
Yeah, I woke up one Sunday morning. I had the worst headache of my life. I thought maybe, this is what a migraine is. And so.
Not a hangover. This
no.
was.
No.
This was a horrible headache, and you thought, I got to get some medical attention.
Yeah, like I took some Advil, I ate, and I drank, mm-hmm. and I was like, I've got to call my mom. My mom mm-hmm. is a registered nurse, and I was like, Mom, I'm getting dizzy, and I feel like I'm going to throw up. I drank, ate, did everything necessary to try and make this headache better. It's still not going away. And she was like, okay, well, let's have the man that I was with at the time, let's have him take you to the hospital. Let's see what's up. This is when I don't remember what happened. Apparently, they gave me an MRI at the hospital and saw that I had bleeding on the brain.
Right.
And it was in a small town hospital. There wasn't a neuro unit. So I had to be lifelined to Indianapolis to a major hospital there. I was in the neuro ICU for 2 weeks. I don't have any memories from that, just a select few. So as a result of it, luckily my body was able to absorb the blood and I didn't have to have surgery. But of course I had a terrible short-term memory loss and of course the pain I had to deal with.
The pain of this, the headache pain, right?
Exactly.
And so the doctors prescribed what for the pain?
Percocets and Vicodin.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other, other medications, but they weren't addictive ones.
Which are both the ones you were given can be highly addictive.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when did you realize that you were basically needed this stuff?
I basically realized this once my parents had been, they had to keep a record of when they were giving me my pills because I obviously couldn't distribute them to myself because I couldn't remember what the mm-hmm. last time I took them. But I had found where they were hiding them and taking them myself and, putting in just regular white pills that looked like them. And, it was just a sign like, if I'm sneaking these, like this isn't all right.
But you needed, you felt like you had to have this stuff.
Yes,
and this went on for how long?
After my hemorrhage for a couple months, and so my parents had reached that point where they're like, okay, Alyssa, you know, you're past that threshold of pain, you know, what can we do now instead of taking medication to help you with this pain management? And so we sought out sacrocranial massage therapy, mm-hmm. which indeed did help my pain, mm-hmm. but of course I wanted those pain pills.
All right, we're going to pick up on Alyssa's story, but Pamela, do you want to join in here before we take our break with any comment about what you've just heard?
Well, this we see a lot of this, and we welcome people and families to come for tours. There's numbers that they can call, the 800-381-3318
or
line.
Or you can Google it, right?
Or you can Google Amity Foundation at Circle Tree Ranch. We're just located down east of Houghton on Tanque Verde on a beautiful, absolutely tranquil 60-acre campus. Mm.
All right, Ray, a quick comment before we take the break, and then I want to get back to, we'll pick up the story with Alyssa.
Well, I'm compelled by Alyssa's story, of course, and it just goes to show, Bill, you know, the truth is becoming addicted to opioids in a circumstance like Alyssa is not a moral failing.
No.
This young woman is the girl next door as anybody I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that the young woman is now in recovery with us at Amity, and I'm sure that you'll want to have her back and update us on how it's been going for her.
I will, and I want to
hear. We're very proud of her and our other students. Thank you again for having us.
And we will hear the remainder of the story, and we'll be brought up to date on what's going on now with Alyssa and her effort to really recover in a very healthy way. It's the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our break here. Back with more about the opioid crisis in Arizona. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, a newsmaker interview with TUSD board member Rachel Sedgwick, plus attorney Kathy Winger on what you need to know about cybersecurity. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI Tucson's Voice, with our worldwide live listening podcasts and the complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. During the first portion of our program, we talked about the historic opioid crisis in Arizona, and we've been kind of getting into diving deep, if you will. We've got former Pima County District 4 Supervisor Ray Carroll, who recently joined the Tucson-based Amity Foundation as Community and Government Relations Director. Pamela Jay is here. Pamela's been with Amity over 30 years. She's been involved with many programs at Amity and currently directs several of the program, kind of oversee a bunch of programs, correct, Pamela?
Yes. Well, we work in three border states, New Mexico, of course, Arizona, and California. We're in five different prisons in California, with also two residentials, and we have a remarkable project in New Mexico of helping women who are coming out of prison and women that are at risk for AIDS through addiction.
Opioids a huge problem in prisons, isn't it?
Absolutely, wow. Yes, Bill.
All right, we get back now to the story. Our friend Alyssa is here, and Alyssa had a brain aneurysm in the Indianapolis area, and just a really horrible time with horrible pain, headaches, and so doctors prescribed painkillers, and one thing led to another, and the doctors cleared you to fly, and you came out to Tucson. Why did you come out to Tucson, or to Arizona, actually?
My family had moved out, relocated to Arizona right before my hemorrhage. My dad got a job with Raytheon. Mm-hmm. And it just made sense, because my mom is a nurse, for me to move out here and recover. And also they wanted me to see Dr. Lamole, the neurosurgeon who saved Gabby Gifford's life,
right?
Just to see what could have possibly caused this hemorrhage. It was completely spontaneous. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in a car accident. I wasn't doing anything bad to my body. It came out of nowhere, and we just wanted to find out, is for him to have a deeper look and see maybe if there's anything to find and if it could happen again to me.
Meanwhile, you're having issues, big issues. You're needing these painkillers, mm-hmm. and one thing turns to another. You start looking for them in any way you can get them, correct?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I knew it was a problem once I started, you know, taking the pills without my parents knowing, and, you know, switching them out with other white pills that look like them. And then once doctors stopped prescribing them to me, I found out through someone I thought was a friend, like, oh, you can buy them from this person, and, oh, you should try snorting them. And so that's how I got hooked on snorting Percocets.
You started looking for dealers.
Yes.
And then you turned to something else eventually, alcohol.
Yes.
As a substitute?
Yes.
Okay. And so you wound up at Amity, and how did that change your life?
Amity it's helped me heal my wounds that, you know, I was using opioids to try and mask, you know, my traumas and, you know, things growing up and things that I just didn't want to think about or talk about it, and, you know, just cover that mental pain. Not just physical pain, but that mental pain that I didn't want to deal with. And Amity has helped me to hold my seat and push through these pains, and so that I don't turn to something temporary that's painful or, you know, harmful to me, and to push through my problems and heal. And, you know, I can heal while also helping others with Amity.
Where are you in the program now?
I recently, last month, finished the 90 days, and I knew that I wanted to stay longer, so I applied to stay longer to try and do the 7-month program. I know there's a lot more for me to learn, and I can you know, help myself while still helping others that are in the Circle Tree Ranch community.
Right, Carol, you're kind of learning about people like Alyssa, who really are great young people who didn't do anything wrong.
Absolutely not.
No.
As I mentioned, Alyssa lived a straight and narrow life, who sadly for all of us, it was interrupted by this brain hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. Alyssa had been a school teacher in our own Tancredi Valley district. She's beloved by her students. She had a double major while playing sports in college. There's no one that I can point to that I've, you know, as a friend that I could be more proud of than the effort that she's making today. But I do want to say, much like the foundation that I sit on, the Tucson Foundation, the Tucson Jewish Foundation, we have a chance for restricted gifts. We have a chance for open gifts. We have a way that you, your listeners, can earmark, in fact, dollars to go towards Alyssa's treatment. We have a great need in Pima County for treatment for people. We have about 80 of our 100 beds filled right now, but so many people are precluded because they don't have insurance or they mm-hmm. might be on TRICARE for life. Some things that we're trying to work out with the Veterans Administration. But as I read to you earlier, a little piece out of Chris Christie's draft report, if they could just let federal funding for Medicaid go towards providing inpatient treatment, I think that's the most effective. If it took Alyssa seven, eight years to come to us, it wasn't going to be cured in 7 or 8 weeks. This is going to take several months to get a real handle on the cause, and the circumstances are different for each and every person, as we mentioned to you, Bill. But I think the therapeutic community that Amity is has a great chance, better than most, and a success ratio with far less fall off, relapses. And I've found that to be very positive. I don't want to talk about the California projects or the New Mexico projects, mm-hmm. which are very impressive, right. And I've visited with the faculty and the students of those projects. But today's focus being on Alyssa, I want people to know that Southern Arizona is filled with young people, middle and older aged people that have fallen into this trap of opioid. If you want to help, you can call me personally at 940-7571 with any community group that you'd like me to come present to, with any funders that would like to make a donation that you might know, or with any families that have been touched by this tragedy. And if I can help, you know I will, Bill. I'm a public servant. I've been in this public eye for a long number of years. And as I said in the end, I just wanted to come out and do something good for our community and do it with friends like you, Bill. So if you can help me and our station manager here, we had a pre-interview mm-hmm. meeting with friends that I know that would like me to come talk to their business groups, their church groups, their families. I'm happy to do that and talk about Amity and what we do.
Pamela, and we are quickly running out of time, but if you, the portfolio of what you do, as Ray was just pointing out about the services, are so wide ranging, kind of the overall, you do have the Dragonfly Village. We've talked to some of that about that on our program previously. How is that doing?
That's doing very well. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a long waiting list. Dragonfly Village is a quality, state-of-the-art, affordable, transitional housing for the low income and the homeless. Mm-hmm. But the what is really needed, as Ray was saying, right now with this epidemic, is for people to know that there is a place like Amity. We have a incredible curriculum mm-hmm. that helps people really become part of their own evolution, helps them to change the vector of their life. There is mindfulness offered. There is an art studio that is offered. There is a Olympic sized swimming pool. There is remarkable food, the quality of the food. It's a no smoking campus. So there's so many different avenues for people to really, as Alyssa was saying, to really heal mm-hmm. and to really talked about as a school for moral development and a school for self-actualization, so mm-hmm. people can begin to see their strengths mm-hmm. and to begin to see their capacity and to begin to have hope and dignity.
Pamela J., thank you very much. Alyssa, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story. And Ray Carroll, thank you again. If people would want more information, what's the best way?
Well, the best way to contact me is 940-7571. Mm-hmm. But the best way to contact Amity mm-hmm. is going to be 1-800-381-3318.
That's 1-800-381-3318.
And sometimes people out and about during the noon hour in a car, probably the best thing to do for those folks, if you didn't get a phone number, just Google, right? Amity.
You can Google Amity Circle Tree Ranch, and it'll mm-hmm. get you right to our programming. And Bill, thanks again for having us, especially all the people here at Good News Broadcasting. We're grateful for the chance to tell Alyssa's story and to introduce our programming to the community in a bigger way.
Thank you very much. Pamela, final word.
Just thank you so much, Bill, for this opportunity, and I hope we have given some people in this community some hope. We have a place where people can evolve and get into a very different place in their life.
Okay. And Alyssa, good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you. We'll be right back. It's the Buckmaster Show.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All righty then, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition on this August the 9th. This portion presented by Green Things, our favorite place for all things green here in Tucson. They're conveniently located along the Rito Riverwalk, 3384 East River Road, and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Get all my roses there, get all my geraniums. We'll need to kind of freshen things up. Like many gardeners, summer was tough, the rains came, now it's time to start thinking about fall gardening. So this is a great time to visit Green Things. Check them out on the web for their free workshops. Any other information you need at greenthingsaz.com. All right, we go now on the Buckmaster Show live line to University of Arizona ecologist Tyson Swetnam. Tyson Swetnam led an interdisciplinary team of U.S. researchers to discover that mountain forests are better at storing carbon than forests found on flat land. Tyson, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. I'm actually up in Portland, Oregon at the Ecological Society of America meeting.
Is some of the smoke starting to clear off from the British Columbia fires in the Northwest?
It is smoky here today, and it's hot for the area. It's about 90 degrees, which is a nice respite from Tucson.
You know, and just about those British Columbia fires that are going on, Tyson, in 60 years, there's never really been anything like this up in that part of the world. I mean, it's getting so... this is getting to be almost a yearly deal, July through September, for these kind of massive fires. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, you know, it moves around by year. And, you know, actually right now Montana is experiencing a lot of fires as well. But it's a nice example of what ecologists like to call the dipole between the Pacific Northwest and the southwestern U.S. So, for example, we had the wettest July on record, and it's very dry up here. And in another year, we might see that it's very dry in Arizona and very wet up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, Seattle just passed the two-month mark without any rain in the Seattle area, and that is a new record of historic proportions. They're hoping for a change finally in the wind direction, and actually to bring some offshore breezes and maybe some rain this weekend. Let's hope so. To your research specifically, Tyson, what were you and your colleagues setting out to really look into?
Well, I was at the time working with a group called the Critical Zone Observatories, and they're an NSF-funded program that looks at everything between the tops of the trees and the base of crystalline bedrock. So that includes all of the soil and broken rock, and then the roots of trees, and then the actual ecosystem that sits on top of it. And my particular speciality is that I do remote sensing, and I was looking at data that was collected from an aircraft using lasers, and we call this LIDAR, light detection and range. And I had a cross-section that I had generated of the data running across a valley looking at forest. And one of the things that popped out right away to us was that the heights of the trees in the valley bottoms were 2.5 times as tall as the trees on the ridges. And so I had a lot of this LIDAR data from a lot of different places, and I started looking. And everywhere I looked, I saw this same sort of pattern where the trees are taller in the bottoms of the drainages. And one of my co-authors, Professor Paul Brooks, who's now at the University of Utah, had been stewing on this idea about how you have rainfall coming into a mountain range, and then it's laterally redistributed. So it moves downslope, or it moves through the soil to lower topographic positions, and then that results in more carbon sequestration in the form of trees growing, but also in the depth of the soil. So you have more soil at the bottom of a hill, and that can produce larger microbial communities. It holds the water. And so you just get more of that good kind of biological stuff happening down in these drainage bottoms.
So the trees at the drainage bottoms are doing better than the trees up on the slope.
They are. They're. You know, everybody receives pretty much the same amount of rainfall because this is within only a few hundred yards of each other. And so the climate is basically the same. But what happens is the trees on the ridges are, they're losing that water as it flows down slope. And so maybe the amount of water that's available to those tree roots is only 10% or 30% of the rainfall. And then the trees in the bottom can be receiving maybe 500% or 1,000% of the rainfall, depending on how large that catchment is up above where they're living.
Talk about why this is important concerning carbon, and try to explain that to us, if you will, please, Tyson.
Yeah, so, you know, carbon sequestration is, you know, the thing that drives all the life on planet Earth through the process of photosynthesis. And so when we're trying to evaluate how much net primary production is going on the landscape, we're usually doing that with a remote sensing platform that's maybe only measuring an area at a kilometer scale resolution. But if I move that kilometer-sized pixel over a mountain range, there's a lot of variability within that small area. And so if the trees in the bottom are doing 5 times or 10 times as much production as the trees on the ridges, and I'm using a single measurement to calculate the average of how much production is going on up there, then I could be off by a significant amount, maybe as much as twice the amount or 3 times the amount of what's actually going on. And so when we're looking at a lot of the existing literature, no one's really taken that kind of fine scale look at how net primary productivity changes across this really narrow gradient, which is caused by complex terrain or by mountains.
We're speaking with Tyson Swetnam, a member of the Bio5 Institute based at the University of Arizona. He's a science information technician, really, at the National Science Foundation funded and UA headquartered SciVerse. Tell me a little bit about SciVerse. This is really cool. This is taking the computerization to the next level, isn't it, Tyson?
Right. So, you know, what we're doing is we work with data. And so I'm the data scientist now. Mm-hmm. And SciVerse's job is to connect users who have data or who are looking to develop data with large computational firepower, basically. So we have access to high-performance computing, which means that you have tens to thousands of computer cores available that you can run your jobs on. We have a cloud service so that you can start a remote computer. You know, it doesn't really matter anymore where your computer lives. It's just a matter of moving your data onto that system. And what we're starting to see is that the ability to generate data and to analyze data, it's becoming so large that you can't do it on a laptop. So you have to move your data around on these larger systems. And so what SciVerse does is it provides a platform and a portal for users to come in and interact with their data. And there's so many different disciplines in science that, you know, we cover a large portion of the life sciences, which include things like doing genetic analyses. So assembling genomes requires a lot of computing power. There's been massive advancements in the last few years in that front. But in my background, working with remote sensing data, it's also large, and I also need access to large computing power to do that. And SciVerse provides a place for all researchers based in the U.S. doing science to come and do that.
And these ecologists are all from all over the world, I guess, are right with you right now in Portland, right, for this meeting?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's quite a few of us up here.
What is the organization again, Tyson?
It's the Ecological Society of America.
Okay. So this is the annual meeting then?
It is.
Are they, and I've only got about a minute left, but getting back to these fires in the Northwest, is this something, Tyson, that we're just going to have to get used to every year?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I think it is something that we need to get used to. As my old PhD advisor used to say, is we have to decide how we want our smoke. Do we either take a little bit of smoke every year in the form of managed fires, or do we hold those fires off until it becomes so extreme that the entire forest burns? And then you get a lot of smoke all at one time.
Which is the best alternative?
Well, I would go with what is more natural, and that would be to have a little bit of fire all the time.
I would think so. Tyson Swetnam, thank you, sir, for taking a few minutes out of the very busy schedule that you have up there for that important meeting.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Tyson Swetnam with us from the University of Arizona, doing some really cutting-edge stuff about carbon and forests. It's complicated, I know, but believe me, it's good stuff. We'll be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by a very historic place in the southwestern United States, one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour getaway, makes for a great weekend trip, or spend more time if you'd like. It's a lovely environment. Silver City is a very historic place, and there's a lot to do in the area. The full list of great recreation opportunities, including the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. All that is listed at southwestnewmexico.org. Also, great places to stay in the area. And speaking of history, Ken Scoville is with us, our Buckmaster Show contributor. Ken, you know about Silver City. That's a great area
over there. It is very much.
But today we're going to be talking about Tucson's history, which August, Ken, I kind of think of as like this is when we kind of reflect a lot on where we come from, where we've been, and where we're going kind of in Tucson.
Right. I think the marketing people call it Tucson's birthday.
Yeah.
And in a way, we're 242 years old from the founding of a Spanish presidio or fort. But you really need to tack on about 4,000 years more onto that, because Native people have lived along the Santa Cruz for that time. And we're really celebrating this place on the desert where we had water, surface flow of water, and a great history of agriculture that actually led to part of the reason for our gastronomy nomination.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are an area that probably has one of the most continuous life sources in North America. When
right.
you're talking about 4,000 years along the river here.
Right. So, and there's a constant little
Santa
battle from,
Cruz, yeah.
from the place in Florida, San Augustine. Yeah, and Tucson as far as who's the oldest.
I always want to say San Augustine, but that's kind of what we refer to as our cathedral.
Right.
I believe in Florida it's called San Augustine. But they also fight with Tucson as kind of being a place that people have been around forever,
been discussing living together for a long time.
So what's the centerpiece for the birthday will be kind of revolving around the Presidio?
Why? Well, I think the Presidio would be a good place to start, and they're having sort of the traditional celebration that the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission has had for a long time, since I think our 200th birthday, so 42 years doing that, and have the flag raising and some other things, but it's going to be at the Presidio Museum, which is the perfect spot for this. And again, you can understand why we have that museum there, because there's archaeological evidence of the Spanish fort, but also Native people, pit houses that go back 900, 1,000, maybe almost 2,000 years at that spot.
And there will be a presentation of six flags that have flown over Tucson throughout its history. And last year it kind of came up controversy around the Confederate flag being one of those six flags. But the Confederate States of America, CSA, basically controlled Tucson, didn't
just
they?
For a couple months.
A
couple of months in late 1861-62. And that's why we had the battle at Picacho Peak
right.
and all of this. But we were that, and whenever, and there's going to be a question this year maybe whether that flag will be displayed or not. Mm-hmm. But every year when I've gone to the event and the Confederate flag came, I know that so many people left Tucson that were staunch Unionists that I always thought, well, like Esteban Ochoa, what do we think? Why are we celebrating this? But that's part of the way, the nature of history.
How about the railroad?
The railroad, again, they're going to have a great event. And one other thing I want to mention about the Presidio Museum, that besides birthday cake, they're going to have the Mission Gardens with some heritage food tasting. Other groups are bringing in food. So there's a little nice emphasis on our heritage of food.
And we should give, again, the location and the date, which we have not done. That is Monday, August 21st. That's kind of the official day, and that's at the Presidio Museum, 196 North Court Avenue. And they've done a real nice job with developing that.
Oh, it's one of the best things we've done to interpret our past in Tucson.
Now, the railroad, of course, we've talked many times about that, Ken Scofield, about how the railroad really kind of, I guess we could say, put Tucson on the map.
Well, yeah. and forever changed the way the city
mm-hmm.
would look,
yep.
and in some ways forgetting some of the old ways but adopting a lot of interesting new ways. And they do nice celebration every year at the train museum and the whole depot. And again, the mayor is going to read a proclamation. They're going to be celebrating some different individuals. Always birthday cake there. So it's a nice overlay of some of our transportation heritage, but also our earlier heritage of Spanish times. And that's actually on August 19th. And it's going to be...
Which is a Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let's see.
And that's at the Amtrak Depot in the lobby there.
At high noon. I like they made that reference. So I think just to give people context, August 20th, 1775 was the exact date of the founding of the Presidio. For us doing the celebrations and events and weekends and things being what they are, the train event is on the 19th.
Then the official birthday is the 20th.
But the Presidio events are going to be on the 21st.
On Monday. And what about some of these other fundraisers that also come up here celebrating our past?
Well, I think the other significant location historically besides the Presidio is Mission Gardens at the base of A Mountain Sentinel Peak. And this is where, and again, as most people that are history types know, this is where Father Kino visited with the native people in the 1690s. And he said, what do you call this place? And they said, Tucson, which means place at the foot of a black hill. And so Tucson becomes Tucson. So it's our place name. But that's where the identification of people living along the Santa Cruz was really formally made. And then there was a mission community there. And so the connection between the Presidio and the mission are essentially linked. But the big issue that we're always celebrating is the water that gave people the ability to settle in a place, grow crops, and has brought everybody here. And I often see people say, well, how did Tucson get started? I don't see a big river course and everything. But yes, we did have a green belt. Yes, we did have
service. We had a river that ran year-round.
We had a river ran pretty much year-round, so service flow, but plenty of, was a marshy area and growing crops. And it was just truly an oasis in the desert.
Now, the Descendants group, tell us a little bit about that. And whenever I hear about the descendants of our area, I think of the late, great Seal Peterson, who was so very much involved with
it. Well, Seal was such a booster for the birthday and all kinds of things. Gosh, I remember so many years working with her on that. Well, the Descendientes, if I'm pronouncing it right, they're having a gala this Saturday, August 12th. It's a fundraiser for the organization. It's $85, but be a great time. And realize they were one of the motivating forces to get this Presidio Museum and to really reestablish our heritage. So a really important thing. And then a little sidebar really on this and this whole celebration of our place and where we live. There will be a mass on August 26th at the cathedral, the San Augustine Cathedral downtown, and they're going to also ring the Presidio bell that actually got saved, and it's dated from 1807.
And a lot of the descendants group, and they really do trace their heritage back to having relatives who
were
serving with the Spanish army at the Presidio.
Yes.
And I think Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, I think his family traces its heritage back to one of the original Spanish soldiers at the Presidio.
Right. And one gentleman, and I'm not remembering his name right now, if you go into the Presidio Museum, there's a mural. Mm-hmm. And several of the people that pose for that, one of those gentlemen actually is a direct descendant, like 9 generations or 10 generations back. So
people who say, oh my gosh, you're a native, you've been here, you came here a week ago or something. Well, you know,
native is relative term.
Sure, I've been here 30 years, but this is nothing compared to people that do, as you say, can trace their heritage back 8-9 generations.
And then if you go on to the Tohono O'odham,
yeah,
then they're going to say, oh, we go back thousands of years.
Yeah,
It's a unique old place that most people, when you look at Tucson today, it looks like it's been here 30 years.
Yeah,
it's really a place with a great heritage.
All right. So, again, these events all build around August the 20th, but the railroad activity at the depot is on Saturday the 19th. And over at the Presidio Museum, that's at 5:30 in the afternoon. They used to do that at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
I used to go when they used to do the flag raising at the Vente de Gosto Park.
Too early.
Between the and they sometimes did it at night, which was a night event.
Yeah. So lots going on. Ken Scoville, always a pleasure. And also, I want to plug your book, Historic Places of Our Republic. It's a guidebook
for elementary school teachers and parents. And it's very Very 21st century, where you can go on Google Earth and with your kids and travel around the United States and especially the National Mall to understand the type of great representative democracy that we have.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen from 4 to 5, then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I don't know how Chris does it, getting up so early every day. Must get up about 4 a.m. Not for me. Did mornings a long time ago, but not these days. Anyway, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.